Praise the Lord. We're going to be looking at a subject tonight that causes confusion, as done in my walk anyway. Causes confusion, sometimes arguments and debates amongst the believers and the Church of God. But never fear, I'm going to sort it all out, and I'm all out tonight. Amen. First man in history ever. What we're going to be looking at tonight, as we go through 1 Corinthians, we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've come to chapter 14, which talks about how the spiritual gifts work, how they should be practiced within the church. Now I'm going to be going through a few verses. As we go through this chapter, right, for Charles next week, right, as we go through this chapter, it's going to unravel. So we're going to have a few questions now, we'll have questions a bit later on, but I'm just going to preach the verses. Just going to preach the verses, we're just going to have a look at what the Bible says about these things. Because, remember this, right, when we got saved, we got filled with the Holy Spirit, when God poured out his Holy Spirit upon the church in Acts 2, and the church was born, the Holy Spirit come upon believers, right? And filled believers, we filled with the Holy Spirit upon salvation, right? But the Holy Spirit was to bring unity. It was to guide and lead in the truth. And to bring unity in the body. And one of the things that mainly gets argued about now amongst believers, all different types of Christian churches, is the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the workings of it and the practice of it. So the thing that was meant to bring unity can sometimes bring division. So we're going to go through the verses tonight, and we're going to look at things that might be clear to me, might be clear to you, and it might not be clear to somebody else, or they might have been taught something different. That doesn't mean that we are enemies with one another, or we know something better, or we are better, because we're all on the same road. If we're saved, we're on the same road, and we're all trying to understand the same thing. We're all in the same race, aren't we? Amen. So we are going to take questions after. We're not going to go out into every avenue of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of it. We've got questions, stick to what's being preached on. And then next week, you're going to ask Charles some more questions about what he's going to be talking about. Right? So with that in mind, praise the Lord Jesus, let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I'm going to explain that in a minute what that is, okay? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, which is encouragement, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue, and I'm going to explain what that is in a minute as well, edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. So he's saying one is better than the other at a certain time, right? I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So we're going to break all this down, we're going to go through these things, yeah, we're going to be able to ask questions as well after, but let's just pray. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come and give us understanding, Lord, tonight. You'd minister to us and strengthen us and have your way. And there'd be something here for everybody, Lord, that we could leave here differently, Lord, than when we came in. But, Lord, that your name would be glorified and praised and lifted on. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So when a person is baptised in the Holy Spirit, they have access to all these different gifts, which they are then to use for the building up of the body of believers. The gifts are for the church, the building up of the body of believers. And every church needs believers to practice their gifts that the church might grow and be healthy. So chapter 12 is about spiritual gifts. Chapter 13 talks about the motive and why we use the gifts. The motive that's behind it talks about love, that we should have love above all things. And without love, none of these gifts really are worth anything unless they are used in love and through love. And then we come to chapter 14, which teaches us about the proper use of the gifts. Now, the Corinthian church had practiced the gifts, which I think Paul's trying to put right here, not that I want to condemn or anything like that, but they was misusing them to the extreme. Let's say, for want of a better word, there were some things they was got right and some things they was doing wrong. But it's not to say that it was sin, they was just doing something, you're misusing it and use it in the wrong way, sometimes to the extreme. But Paul doesn't condemn them. He doesn't say, you're wrong, you shouldn't do this, you should do that. He just teaches them how to put these things in order properly. So what this is about using these gifts in church. Paul's come on, chapter 14, he's saying, listen, I want to talk to you about when you're in church and you come together, how you should use these things properly. How you should do these things properly. Because you've got all these gifts, and if you don't use them in the right way, you're not really getting the right benefit from them. And look, and I've got to be, look, in all honesty, I think that even though in our churches, Light and Life, and other churches as well, we are Pentecostal. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we believe in speaking in tongues, we believe all the gifts, right? But some get focused on a little bit more than others. And I think that through time, and I'll be honest, even in our own churches, I think that we're using it wrong sometimes. Now, that's not to say that it's sin or something that we should be condemned about or feel bad about. Because I don't know about you, but I'm happy. I've been saved 24 years and I'm happy to say I'm learning. Amen? I'm learning. If we get to a point and we say, oh no, we can't learn, we've got it sussed, shut the doors, forget it. We're done for. We can learn. And I think, and I've got to be honest, I think we have, in our churches, we've picked up bad habits. See, the thing is, through the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about these things. And what can happen is that things go on that shouldn't, and we try and put it right. Our preachers preach about things, they try and put it right. And then the other extreme is people run away from it and go, oh no, I'm not going to speak in tongues. I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. So we throw the baby out of the bathwater. We go to the other extreme. Let's just say, Lord, let us learn and have the boldness to use these things in the correct way. Amen? Amen. So I do think in our churches there's been sometimes, without not being judgmental, probably I've done it myself, there's been a wrong use of these gifts. They're being used wrongly, not intentionally, but through the lack of understanding. So, as I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at these things and trying to gain understanding and practice the spiritual gifts in a better way, more correctly. And I think, listen, that's healthy for the church, isn't it? And it's not to say that we ain't going to have a look at these things again. And maybe in another 3 or 4 years, we'll look at them and go, you know what, I think I said that, I don't think that fit quite right. Because we're learning. We're gaining understanding as we go through the scriptures. What we don't do is go by experience and say, well, especially where the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are, and say, well, I was in a church once and they did it that way. Or I see this happen, so that's got to be the way it's done. Scripture has the final word, isn't it? Last authority, final word. And then we pray by the Holy Spirit that we have the boldness to use these things in a correct way. So that's just how I feel. So it says in verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Paul teaches the Corinthian church here right at this point. He's been talking about love. He's just finished talking about love. And he's going to continue as he goes into this chapter. And he says, look, above the desire, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. That word there for pursue means that you should chase after it like a dog would chase an hare. Like an hunter would chase after something to get it, to capture it. So he's saying, chase after love until you capture it. Don't stop running after it. Hunt it down until you catch it. Pursue it as though your life depends on it. Run after love as though it's the most important thing in your life. And I think that's something for all of us to take in. That Paul just starts his chapter. He says, look, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. We are to desire spiritual gifts, but to chase after love until we take hold of it and don't let go. But sometimes our desire, I think, can be around the wrong way. Because I want to encourage us tonight, the Bible teaches us to desire earnestly the best gifts, the spiritual gifts. The Bible teaches us to do that. It teaches us to do that. But sometimes we forget about love. Sometimes we forget about the other things that the Bible teaches us to desire and to have as well. And what I mean by that, even I've been in meetings, I've been in missions and been at conventions, and people come forward for prayer and they say, I want discernment, I want the gift of discernment, I want to speak in tongues. I get that one all the time. I've had that one a million times. I want to speak in tongues. It's like the gift that's most focused on, because we have this sort of understanding, I don't know where it comes from, The tongues are important, but they're more important than anything else. What we're going to see here in these verses, that Paul teaches the prophecy is more desirable in the right setting in church than what tongues are. And I think I've been in there, people come forward, so I want to receive tongues, I want to pray in tongues, and people come forward, and that, there's nothing wrong with that, they have a desire for the spiritual gifts, but very rarely have I ever had anyone come and say to me, I want to love more. Pray for me that I can love more. Pray for me that I can love people. And let's be fair, I know all of you's in here. And you know me. We all take a bit of loving, don't we? Especially Abram. He laughed because he knows what I'm on about. Listen, let me tell you something. You're going to have people in your life, and you're going to come to church, and they're a brother and sister in the Lord, and they're going to need some loving. Amen? Right? And don't kid yourself, you're going to need some loving. Because we're not everyone's cup of tea. Brothers and sisters, desire spiritual gifts, but Paul said, pursue love. Chase after it. Pursue love. And look, I think spiritual gifts are something that we should have. And we should exercise spiritual gifts. But love is something that we must have. Hallelujah. To be able to come forward and say, listen, you know what, Lord, I want to love more. I want to love in a better way. I want to be more pure and more honest with the way that I love people. He says, look, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. We are to deeply desire and be zealous for spiritual gifts. God not only wants you to have them, but he wants you to use them. And there's a lot of fear around spiritual gifts. I remember when I first got saved, right? The meetings, there was a lot more use of spiritual gifts in the churches. I've been saved 24 years. When I first got saved, there was a thing come out called the Toronto Blessing. Who knows what the Toronto Blessing is? Shane knows, been about for years, right? The Toronto Blessing. And what the Toronto Blessing was, and Pensacola, the Pensacola blessing was people who was, weirdos, right? And what they was doing is, these preachers was convincing these people that when the Holy Spirit pours himself out and is speaking, you're all going to start rolling about and laughing. Right? Crashed with the death if I was in that meeting, to be quite honest with you, right? And all the people, they're all rolling about laughing, and there's waves of them all laughing. One man's barking like a dog. Chicken. Right? Crowing like a chicken. Right? I'm telling you, I'll gel out that place. Gel out of it. Right? But they're loving it. And they're going, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. I remember Jackie years ago, he went to a big Pentecostal, I might be saying this wrong, but he went to a big Christian union thing up London, and there's all these different preachers and he got invited, like being Light and Life, Pastor Light and Life, that one day was Light and Life, and he'd see one of these Toronto Blessing men there, right? I don't know who it was, Rodney L. Brown or one of them, right? And he went up to him and he gave him the Bible and he went, show me a scripture for the Toronto Blessing. And the fellow went to him, you don't need a scripture for everything. And he said, yes, you do. Yes, you do. There is, and because, well, I remember when that first came around, the church was like it fell silent. Everyone was trashed to move in the spiritual gifts. If someone was praying and maybe they heard them praying in tongues, they'd be like, oh, yeah, as they're all tronified, they are. You know what I mean? What's going on here? Everyone was like, we can't throw the baby out of the bathwater. God not only wants you to have them, but he wants you to use them in boldness. But what Paul's trying to say, and he's going to teach you, he's going to talk about, that some are more beneficial, of more use to the church when we gather together, because he's talking about a church settings here. So when you come together, you're better off, use the gifts, but this one will be more beneficial to you as you gather together, and he's going to break it down. And he's saying, look, when you come together, prophecy is more beneficial because it benefits the whole body. Now, what is prophecy? What is prophecy? And we're going to even look at as well, what if we was to hear someone prophesy, what it might sound like. But we tend to think that because of the Old Testament prophets, that if someone prophesies, they're saying something that's happening in the future. That's not always the case. It was the case in the Old Testament, but Elijah was a prophet, and he never said anything future at all. But yet he was a prophet. So a prophet was an office. A prophet was someone, and God would take a man, and he'd put a burning in a man's heart, and he would be God's mouthpiece. Now, a prophet is someone who speaks the direct word from God. So it comes from God to this man. This man would have the testimony and lifestyle. You look at the people in the Old Testament. They'd have the testimony and lifestyle to back it up, and he would speak to the people or a person on behalf of God. Something right into that person's life. It's a word from God to a person or a group of people, or maybe even speaking into a certain situation in their life or something that might happen in the future. And the whole purpose, the Bible says, of prophecies, we're going to see, is for edification, to build us up, encouragement and comfort. That's what prophecy does. So remember this. The intention of prophecy is for edification, to build up, for comfort and for encouragement. So if someone stands up in a meeting and goes, woe to you! If you don't repent, you're going to mullah. God's going to come and burn his order. That's not a prophecy, is it? Because that's not very encouraging, is it? You are condemned, and they're always talking in King James. Thou shalt and this, thou and that, whatever. Do you know what I mean? The purpose of prophecy, when used correctly, and Paul's teaching us that we should desire these things, is always to build the body up. Now, there is a biblical office of a prophet in the ministry gifts in the Old Testament, and the New Testament is different than the Old Testament, but there is the ministry gift of a prophet, and there are people who prophesy. So does everyone who gives a prophecy, are they a prophet? Not necessarily so. There is a difference. Now, there's a difference between the biblical office of a prophet and someone using the spiritual gift of prophecy. Now, a prophet is someone who holds that office. They have a calling and a life that comes from God. They are filled for that purpose, to be God's mouthpiece to a person or a group of people at that time for a specific purpose. And even though these things are still active in the church today, but we don't see the biblical office of the prophet as much as we probably see pastors or teachers or evangelists. Maybe that's just my point of view of that. I could be wrong. Maybe because as we are as a mission, and I can only see as far as the mission, because that's the only churches I'm mixing, we don't see, I don't think, I could be wrong here, the biblical office of a prophet as much as we see pastors and teachers and evangelists. Would you agree with that? Yeah, I've got that one right then. Charles and Johnny said it's all right, okay? So, But that's not to say that they're not there. I think there is more need because we have the Word of God. In the when the church was early on, and they never read the Bible, there was more need for prophetic messages direct from God. But now we have the Word, we have the written Word, which God has kept pure. So even though there's still need for the prophet, there's still need for a person that God speaks to, and that person speaks direct to the people or person or situation, a message from the Lord. There's still need for that. I think because we have churches and we've been set up and the way the Holy Spirit has designed things today, there's more need of, I think, we see more teachers and pastors and evangelists because they're more active in the type of churches that we have today. Amen. So what is the difference? So you've got the biblical office of a prophet and then someone who prophesies. Now someone, that biblical office of a prophet, he has that calling upon his life. It might be the once, God might use him 10 times, but he has that calling and that life put into his heart and God uses him. It's a biblical office, like a teacher or a pastor or an evangelist. Yeah? But then you have someone who can prophesy. Now, if you're baptised in the Holy Spirit, you have access to the gifts. One of the gifts is being able to prophesy, to speak a word from God to the church, congregation, to a person, to a situation, yeah, to a people. But that doesn't make you a prophet. That means you've been used in the gift of prophecy, and that might only be that one time. That might happen again. But it might not. Be very, very careful with people who give themselves the badge prophet. Be very, very careful. People who say that they're prophets or that they possess that gift all the time. We need to understand there's a difference between the office of a prophet and being used in the spiritual gift to prophesy. But I will encourage you to do this. If you get this opportunity, and we're going to have a look at what prophecy is and go through and maybe even try and have a look at what it might sound like, what it would look like, the difference between tongues and interpretation and prophecy, is that be bold. If you believe the Lord has laid something upon your heart, be bold. But remember this, God doesn't disagree with Scripture. God will never say anything that's against His Word. So someone comes to you and says, listen, God told me, I've got a prophecy from the Lord, God told me, I'm going to have 2 wives. No, don't marry up, is it? No. I had a man say to me once, I'm allowed to smoke weed. I can smoke dope. God told me I can smoke dope. I said, I don't think you can. I think that's right. No, God's told me, be very careful, everything must line up with the Word. Amen? Everything must line up with the Word. So verse 2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation and comfort to men. Now he's saying that he who speaks in a tongue, no one understands him. But when we see in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church and they was baptised in the Holy Spirit, they was speaking in tongues, the people in the upper room, 120, but everyone around them in the marketplace, all different languages, all different people, they heard them speaking in their own language. Now some would say they've been given the gift of hearing, but that's not right, because nowhere in the Bible is the gift of hearing. It's the gift of tongues and interpretation. They understanding that when they was baptised in the Holy Spirit, how that manifested itself, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the sign that they was baptised in the Holy Spirit, is that other people could hear them speaking in their own language. In fact, the word for tongues means language or dialect. So it can't just be a sound. It can't just be a noise. It has to be a language. They heard them speaking in their own language. So then you come to this bit, and Paul's saying, but when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands them. So is Paul contradicting himself? Because Paul's saying that there are tongues that can't be understood. But in Acts, they understood them very well. They understood them. They said they heard them glorifying God in their own language. So is Paul contradicting himself, or is there something deeper here for us to understand? The point is that we would say, and I believe, and we would say as a mission, that when someone is baptized in the Holy Spirit, yeah, they're filled with the power from on high as to be a witness in this world, that the sign of that, the initial sign of that, was that they would speak in tongues. And what would that sound like? That would be an understandable language to somebody. That's a language. The disciples never understood what they were saying, but the people who heard them knew what they were saying. Because they spoke that language. They was of a different language than people. But then Paul's saying that there is a time when tongues are used where no one understands. And as far as I understand it, is that this is more of a personal prayer. This is a prayer for yourself, because he goes on to speak about that when someone speaks in tongues and they're praying, they're edifying themselves. It's building themselves up. The point is this. This is the point that Paul's trying to make. He's saying, look, tongues are good. Speaking tongues. But when you're in church and you're all together and you're as a body like we are here tonight, prophecy's about. Because if you're just speaking in tongues and that's your own private prayer language, let's put it that way, for want of a better word, and you're praying out loud, I'm in church and I'm praying out loud and I'm speaking in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. No one else knows what I'm saying. So what would be the point of it? Because what Paul was trying to say, look, and I believe this, Jim Boyce said it last week. There is... if I'm praying in tongues, yeah, and it's good for me to pray in tongues, when I'm praying, I'm having a time of prayer. But sometimes I can't put into words, or you might understand what I'm saying, you might not be able to put into words all the things that you want to say to the Lord. I just haven't got the words, Lord. Sometimes the art wants to express unexpressible things, things that can't be put into words. And I believe it's at that point, this is what Paul's talking about, that when someone speaks in tongues, he says, no one understands. Only God. God hears that prayer. The Spirit is uttering things to the Lord, unexpressible. On my behalf, things that I can't put into words. I don't understand, and no one else don't understand. And Paul's saying, look, because everyone's praying in tongues. Later on, he's going to say, look, when you do it, don't all do it. Just one or two of you, and only with an interpreter. He puts everything into order. He tells them how they should be doing it properly so the church can be edified. But if I'm in church and I'm just praying out in tongues, I don't understand what I'm saying. God understands. I don't. I'm breaking the heart probably to the Lord. You don't understand. Paul's saying, what good would that be for everybody else? If a man prays in tongues, he said he's edifying himself. He's building himself up. There's no edification for the church because no one understands what I'm saying. He said, but yeah, if you prophesy, if someone speaks out and it's a word from the Lord come down and spoken to the church, everyone can say, hallelujah, amen, thank you, Lord. That was the answer I was looking for. We was looking for that encouragement. Paul's saying, listen, he's not, and I want you to understand something. He's going to say in a minute, I wish he's all spoken in tongues. Paul is not saying don't speak in tongues. He's just saying the right gift at the right time, in the right place, for the right purpose. Amen? People have asked me before, well, what do I do then? If I feel like I want to pray in tongues and I'm in church, what do I do? And I'll be honest with you. For me personally, and I know Charles and Johnny might think differently about this, but for me personally, I'd say pray in tongues, but quietly. I've been in meetings where people are praying so loud, no one else can even think or understand what they're doing. Because everyone's praying out in tongues. What is Paul saying? What's the good of everyone just praying out in tongues at the same time? If we start to practice things that Paul says don't do, where does it leave us? Where are we going? And I've heard that argument as well, but we've done it like this for years. But what does that mean? I'm 45 years old. If I've realised today I'm doing something wrong, I'm going to change, can I? If I'm using the gift and it's only building me up, which Paul says it does when someone prays in tongues, it's only building me up. It's not fulfilling its main purpose of building up the church and the body of believers. And verse 4, Paul clears it up. So I'll read 2 again. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." My own personal prayer. Yeah? "But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Paul's saying, if you've got to come together and you've got to pray, pray that someone prophesies, that there can be a benefit to everyone, that the gift, the right gift can be used at the right place at the right time, that everyone can be built up. Paul isn't saying that praying in tongues for personal edification is wrong or it isn't helpful. It is. He's saying that the church is better off, more beneficial if you prophesy. I want you to understand something here, like I mentioned earlier on. Paul isn't trying to quench the spirit. We're not. We don't stop people from praying in tongues. Paul said, don't hinder no one from praying in tongues. We don't stop anyone from praying in tongues. But what we do ask, in my own life, I pray this, and I would say for you to pray as well, Lord, show me that I might practice these things properly. Show me that I might be using these things, be bold enough to be used, feel me that I could be using them, but show me that I might practice these things properly. He's teaching, the right gift at the right time for the right edification. Now verse 5, I'm going to finish here. He says, "I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification." So prophecy. So we've already seen that prophecy, we've already learned that prophecy is a direct word from God to a person. Yeah? Brothers and sisters can prophesy. Yeah? But only a man can hold the biblical office of a prophet. But brothers and sisters can prophesy. I'm talking about a New Testament. Okay? So we've learned that prophecy is a direct word from God. It comes down from God to man, to the people. So what would that sound like? They don't need to pray in tongues first. Because sometimes we hear people pray in tongues first and then other people want to prophesy. That is what it doesn't need people to pray in tongues first. In fact, someone can just come forward or stand up and say, "I believe the Lord showed me something, give me something for the church." I've seen that happen before, it's been in season, in line with what's going on in people's lives. Encouragement and comfort at that time. So what would a prophecy sound like to a person or a people in certain situations? Because it's coming down from God. So it won't sound anything like I think in my own life. It's a message from the Lord. So have you ever heard, have you ever been in the meeting, you've heard maybe someone say, "Listen, my children, I'm with you. Don't lose heart. Take comfort, because what you've asked today, I'm going to do. Or be of comfort, because I'm going to strengthen you." Maybe someone give a scripture, or they prophesied a direct message from the Lord, and it brought comfort, and someone spoke out, and you were saying, "Please, Lord, I need to hear from you today. I need to hear from you today. I need encouragement. I'm going through this situation, I'm going through this thing," and all of a sudden someone speaks out, and you think, "Thank you, that was for me." That could be a prophecy. So when someone speaks in tongues and it's interpreted, what would that look like? Because we need to understand what these things look like, don't we? So when he says someone speaks in tongues, he talks about interpretation here. What would an interpretation of a tongue look like? So we know that from the Bible, that when they spoke in tongues, it said they was glorifying God. Yeah? So a prophecy, look at it like this. A prophecy is from God down to the people. An interpretation, someone speaking in tongues, an interpretation of tongues is me up to God. So, Brother Billy here, he's got all the French lingo. He can rock up, right? So, I'm in a meeting, I'll go to Bill with France in a minute, let's say goodbye, go to France with Bill. I can't speak French. I know a bit of Del Boy, that's it. Right, that's all I can do. Bonjour and au revoir and all that job, right? Bill can rockery. Bill goes to Hungary and he interprets for the French brothers. And interpretation means that Bill will hear them speaking French and he will interpret into English what they're saying. So if I'm glorifying God and I'm praying in tongues and I'm speaking things unexpressible to the Lord, I'm glorifying God, I'm worshipping God in tongues, yeah? What will that sound like? What will the interpretation of that be? I'm speaking something that nobody knows, but someone has been given the interpretation. What would it sound like? It won't be, take heart, my child, for I will bless thee. Because that's God saying it to me. An interpretation of what I'm saying, that God is going up. Do we understand that? One's down, one's up. Prophecy's coming down. Is that right? In the 90 or what? Yeah. Interpretation. Come on, boys, give an amen or something. You know what I mean, right? An interpretation is an understanding of what I'm praying. I don't know what I'm praying, but Billy's been given the interpretation of it. And I say to Billy in that French meeting, what's the chap in Rockery? What's he on about? You know what I mean? And he goes, he's saying blah, blah, blah. Because Bill understands what he's saying. Yeah, you know what I mean? Well, that's what interpretation is. An interpretation is someone speaking in tongues and you've been given by the Spirit the understanding of what they're saying. But what would it sound like? If I'm glorifying God, I'm saying, Lord, I love you. I'm praying in tongues, but really, if I can understand, I'm saying, Lord, I love you, and I thank you for everything that you've done, and you've had your hand upon me and my children, and you've done this, and you've done that, and I just want to glorify you, Lord. That's what the interpretation sounds like. Me glorifying God. Not God saying something to me. So have you been in a meeting, and someone's prayed in tongues, and then afterwards someone spoke out, but it's not an interpretation, it's something coming down from God. And I'm not saying them things are wrong. And I don't want to disencourage anyone of speaking out. But that's probably a prophecy if it's coming down to me. If it's coming down to us. That's not really an interpretation. And I'm not saying that that's wrong or it's dangerous or it's sinful or nothing like that. I'm just saying that's not quite what it should be. An interpretation is always what it says. Putting into words something that can't be understood otherwise. Saying, repeating exactly what I've said, but in my own language. That's what interpretation looks like. So, we are to desire spiritual gifts. And tongues are good, and they are to be used. And brothers and sisters, use them in your own prayer life. If you want to pray in tongues in this church, you can. But we would say through wisdom, don't do it loudly so it disturbs the meeting. And if you do it, Charles is going to cover things in the next few weeks, or we're going to be covering things in the next few weeks, because it's a long, long verse. I'll probably go into it as well again. It talks about making sure that there's an interpreter there. It tells us how these things should be done if they are done. But this is just these few verses. And what I take from this is this, that we should pursue love. We should run after love. Desire spiritual gifts. But when Paul is saying here, when we're together in the body, use the gifts that's more beneficial for the body. That everyone can be blessed. That's not to say not to use the others or desire the others. And that's not to say that you can't pray in tongues. It's just saying, use the gifts that benefit everybody. Because when someone prophesies, we can all agree and say amen. But he says, unless, indeed, he interprets that the church might be edified. So if I am praying in tongues and someone hears it, if Thank the Lord if they have the interpretation, speak that out. Because if I'm glorifying God, Jamie got up tonight and Sally got up tonight and glorified the Lord. As they was glorifying the Lord, what did we do? Amen, hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We can say amen to them things. If someone prays in tongues and it's interpreted, and it's me glorifying the Lord, and the interpretation is given of what I'm saying, and I'm saying, thank you, Lord, I love you, and you're worthy to be worshipped. We can all say amen to that, can't we? That's an encouragement for the church. I just think that as we go through these things, I know I've learned things. I know I've understood, even the last few weeks we've been looking at things, I've understood things a little bit better than what I did. And I think, let me tell you something, that's growth and it's encouragement. It's a blessing. We don't want to be frightened of these things. We just want to know how to use them properly. Amen? Amen? So, is there any questions? No, Sean.